Okay, we resume. We have been learning the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the 13 principles of faith, and in particular, connecting it to Shabbos. So number 12 of the 13 is actually very apropos, as we're in the 9 days, both number 12 and number 13, with Tisha B'Av being on Sunday, certainly appropriate. But in general, we're connected to Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh, Hibris Av, Alachon Evroim. Shabbos is the covenant of love between Hashem and His creations. Uv'miyuchad, and in particular, Bris Ava, covenant of love, L'Yisrael, Am Kroivu Korsi Abresim Hashem Esbakim. Jewish people who are beloved to Hashem have this covenant with Hashem. U'poshet, and it's a simple fact, Shekasha Yesh Bris Ava, when you have a treaty, a covenant, a union of love between two different sides, Echaz Habris, you could invest in the treaty, in the bris, according to your capacity and ability and desires. For example, the number one, so to speak, covenant you'll have, relationship is between a husband and his wife. Ha'ish mefarshes ishto, in a typical marriage, or very often, the husband is the breadwinner, the woman makes the home. Of course, in today's modern world, it can be a little bit more mixed, but that's just the general reality. But there's an understanding of that. Who rears the kids? Who takes care of this? Responsibilities. Right? Now, imagine the husband loses his job. So could the wife say to the husband, well, no dinner for you. No clean bed for you. You didn't bring home the money today. No, obviously a good wife, empathizes with the husband, feels his pain, supports him emotionally, and feeds him dinner if he loses his job. Everyone does according to their ability. If some person loses his job for whatever reason, that's all fine. The purpose is that it's a partnership. If that's the case, when Hashem makes this covenant between Himself and the Jewish people, we're talking about Hashem. So Hashem will invest, so to speak, into the relationship with Hashem. Since all of Hashem's attributes are nitzchis, eternal, without any limit, right? It's not possible. It's not feasible that Hashem makes a bris, a covenant, an eternal covenant with Jewish people, and then leaves them in the exile. Leaves them in the galus, leaves them forever and ever to be redeemed again. Ela habris hilenetach letzachim. The covenant with the Jewish people is eternal. V'alkein shekal tzaris habayis aleinu. Hemishtalvas v'sarich ava atza. Anything negative that happens to us, it's connected to this greater reality, which we're going to call Mashiach in a moment or two. Right? It's all part of a cosmic plan. Even the worst, of times, I just shared an article which I had written 3 years ago, which was republished by a couple periodicals this week, and I put it on my Substack as well. It's very appropriate for Tisha B'Av on history of Spanish Jewry, which is a pretty comprehensive history. But if you read the history of Jewish Spain, and there's not the other places, but just Spain, it happens to be particularly amazing because it has these lulls and these golden ages and large population, learned for hundreds of years. Kabbalah really gets spread through Spain. Some of the greatest Rishonim, including Maimonides, Rambam was born in Spain, Ramban, Rashba, you go through it, and yet Spain crashes. it becomes an inferno for Jews, where Jews are forcibly converted, expelled, children taken away, killed in the streets. By the way, this summer is called Russia, which had Lithuania and large parts of Ukraine and the USSR, which had Jewish populations for hundreds of years, would do a similar thing and expunge it. And when you're in those galluses, which were very, very dark, and many Yidden were lost in it, you could think that we're not getting out of this. Ad shenimse gamara hazev yichash kerkev enemar azam afreya oida shem kenaf to be. But ultimately, Klal Yisrael, I'm not talking about individuals for right now. Everything that we go through, it's part of a divine plan. If I would have told anyone believe, and if you're living in the Soviet Union in 1927, that in, if we're not to 1925, let's go 100, exactly 100 years ago, that 100 years from now, the largest Jewish population in the world would be in Eretz Yisrael. There'd be close to 7.5 million Jews there. And there'd be tens of thousands of people daily, Bachrim, hundreds of thousands, really, we're saying, learning yeshivas. There would be mass amounts, and that the largest part of the population growth would be in the religious. A person in Russia in 1920 would never believe that. You couldn't even, it would be incomprehensible. If you were a Jew, you were an active, you were a communist. If you were an observant Jew, you were running for your life and being thrown in the gulag in Siberia. Right? Israel was still largely swamplands. Right, with a pipe dream, right? And all the Torah learning. No way. That was the old days. Those days were over. And again, everything with Klal Yisrael, even the worst of the times, it's part of a greater process. Because Hashem is in common with us, is eternal. Right, the fact that we're learning today, Torah, all of us coming from different places. Just today, by the way, just. The president of the Illinois Holocaust Museum is a friend of mine, and he asked me, invited me, he invited his board of trustees for this, it's at the Pritzker Museum, and they were burying ashes from Auschwitz. The museum apparently had ashes from the crematorium. For whatever reason, right at this moment, they decided to bury them, and I was, you know, invited to participate. Small group. But I'm saying there are a grandchild of four Polish Holocaust survivors whose most relatives were murdered in different death camps like Belzec and Treblinka and Chelmno. My wife's grandfather was in Auschwitz. He survived. But had the numbers. But I'm thinking to myself, like, you imagine, like, this, you can't imagine. And we're all sitting here, you know, learning Torah after 2,000 years of exile, of gullus, of persecution, of immense pressures, whether they were to assimilate. And even today, look at all the anti-Zionists, the anti-Semites of the world. We're here learning. Eternal millions of Jews living in Israel, despite it all. Because it's part of something bigger. The Yetzmech Matsir of Kol Ikar B'yachar Kev She'sparach Hashem is first, obviously, we discussed Hashem, everything comes from Hashem. It's eternal. And davar, there's nothing that happens outside Hashem's divine providence. V'asheiches la'amo, he asheiches shel abba v'chipa. And the ultimate, sometimes we like a child, we don't see the parent disciplines or punishes us. But the eiches is Hashem v'chvayr v'atzmo. Hashem is one who runs the world. Hashem is one who leads the Jewish people. And again, you know, even in the dark times, you look at the world today. By the way, for me, when I look at the insanity of what's going on, it actually makes me realize, like, this doesn't make sense but for the fact that Klai is so special. And in every way, like, the whole narrative in the secular press and in the news, that look at little Israel, like, we, like, it could be a million other world events, and the false, and the libels, and the blow. I mean, putting fake pictures in, and false information, and all the calculations that these Europeans who are gonna, you know, have their own issues, are only increase over time. It's only that Hashem puts us. It's all part of this process for Kol Mashiach. Mechelas Shabbos, Kodesh Laharis La'asen, and Shabbos in particular shows for the future. Shabbos is Me'ein Lam Haba. As we discussed, Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. V'im Kein, Eich Noimer She'ein Tikva L'Acharis, and how can we say there's no future? Right? How can we say there's no hope? Kishvachol Shabbos V'Shabbos, every Yedr Shabbos, every single Shabbos. Anu Chayim Es HaGu'ul of Apoyo. We live literally the Gu'ul of Apoyo. V'yom HaShabbos, and Shabbos is, at some level, the days of Mashiach. Because we're totally connected to Hashem. We're totally connected to Hashem. The days of Mashiach, as the Rambam, Maimonides writes at the end of the Laws of Kings, and Focus of Lachem, it was Avu Chamon V'Nevi'im, the Mashiach. Why did the greatest sages, why did the greatest prophets desire Mashiach? Was it so they could enjoy fancy lunches with beach houses and lots of workers, lots of employees? No, they should be pnuim b'Torah v'Chachma. They should have opportunity to have a full head for Torah v'Chachma. They have noigesh mevatal. They should be able to totally connect to Hashem. They should merit the world to come. V'oitzasman in the time of Mashiach, because surely as it goes on in the beginning, it still will be basically Mashiach will come, Messiah will come, the Davidic line will be restored, the temple will be built in Jerusalem. All the Jews go back to Israel at that point. You know, we can see this in our own days. Look at the, majority of the Jews are almost in Israel. It's not too far away from that reality. But in the beginning, it's status quo. Like there's still poor people, but eventually, in the Messianic era, as time goes on, there will be no famine, there will be no war, there will be no jealousy, there will be no bickering. Why? Because the toiva will be only the more good, not just the physical material. The manifestation of Hashem will be so intense that it will only lead to more and more thereas, and increasingly, v'choma ad madanim, and all the physical things will be there. You won't need it. You're not going to. That's not going to be your thing. That will be provided. And the whole purpose of it all, well, at that point, we would connect to Hashem. She said, "Mamish tir tzur Shabbos kishlenu." Really. All of Shabbos, and Jews, we've been learning this for many, many months. I look back, I imagine it's definitely over a year. But Shabbos, it's all there. Everything is leading to be close to Hashem. It's all about the relationship. We may, have a cholent and kugel and go for a walk and daven and learn, but it's all there for that that connection, even the sleep. In the marriage, the connection between husband and wife, it's all for that. Not just that, it's Shabbos, as we discussed, is that nothing exists. You can be making a chip for a company, you can be involved in a project, you could be looking to buy a house, whatever it is. It does. It's, when Friday night comes, the whole Shabbos comes, the world ends. It's like everything is done. Nothing else is important. Nothing else is relevant. Halacha shal Shabbos and liras kavatsuyok nimsa tzaras hagalas nishkacham Shabbos, and on Shabbos we don't worry about Iran and Hamas and Mamdani and whatever next crazy progressive liberal. We hope they're not Jewish like Sanders who wants to destroy us. Nimsa tzaras galas, but we don't worry about that Shabbos. It's we're menucha shleima on Shabbos. I focus on Hashem. We do that, all of those, the noise, that's all they are. Hashem wants to flip the narrative for 1 second, it is, right? Is not in our mind. We're focusing on Hashem. That's the focus. Just like you don't focus on your chip or your project or your tax bill on Shabbos. It's komat asur. You don't worry about all these geopolitical realities or other concerning events. And in Shabbos is a reminder of this whole thing that our covenant with Hashem is eternal, right? That Yidin, right? Elik Shem Shishlam Amenu Yisparchu As Shabbos Kashto Oisel Ava. Just like our Shabbos is eternal. came by Mehera Yavo, Yom Shekula Shabbos, speedily will have the day which is all Shabbos, right? The day which is Yom Shekula Shabbos is, of course, the Besanikar. Number 13, the last of the 13 principles. Ani Imam Emunah Shleima, I believe with complete faith, Tchias HaMesim, V'yishiyala Ratzon HaBara, Isbarach Shemo, V'yis'al Zichla Netzatzachem. There will be a resurrection of the dead. And now the main resurrection of the dead is at the end of the Messianic period. The whole world is comes to judgment, and the come back to your physical body if you're judged correctly, that you merit it, a person's righteous, and because the soul has to come back to the body. There is a debate, is that the final step, is after, so you're only soul to the Rambam, Maimonides, Ramban, others, Kabbalim, but that's not for now. The end of the Messianic era is that we come back to body. It's important to note that there are Tanan de Beliyahu, Midrashim, there are Rishonim like the Ritva, who point out that there'll be an earlier Tchias HaMeisim, there'll be an earlier resurrection of the dead. It's, again, if it's Sunday's Tisha B'av, it's important to point this out, for those who mourn for Yerushalayim. Why? Because it says, Kamas Abel v'Yerushalayim Zoich l'Ras v'Simchas, anyone who mourns for Jerusalem will merit it to see it in its moment of rejoicing. So for the Rashis, and the Vilna Gaons, and the Ramchals, and the Ramaz, and the Rambams, and all the tzaddikim, and all of the Yidin, the Pashat Yidin, the simple Jews, who cried on Tisha B'Av 50, 100, 300 years ago, wanted Mashiach, they mourned for Yerushalayim. So when the Beis HaMikdash is being rebuilt, not just at the end of time, the great day of judgment, but even prior to that, there will be a Tchias HaMeisim for those righteous people, anyone, by the way, not just the greatest tzaddikim. A regular Yid, a regular Jew sat on the ground on Tisha B'Av and cried and went on Yerushalayim within the 9 days and listened to music, who felt the pain of the Jewish people. You know, I mentioned about all the noise. When I saw that picture, that rag called the New York Times, a fake picture, I thought, the Chil Hashem, the whole world's upside down. And I'll tell the truth, when I see Jews eating treif, my heart goes out, my mamish. Right, we want Mashiach. How we have so many Jews in America today. So it's like the tale of two cities. For some Yidden, it's the best of times. For so many Jews, it's the worst of times. Being lost. 33. We're literally close to Mashiach. It's not too far away. They're being lost at the last moment. Mamish, the last. You know, when I was younger, I was an avid reader of Holocaust books, which makes sense. I'm a grandchild of four survivors. And it always bothered me, like the people who die like right before liberation. Like it just bothered me. They had these death marches, and like they had survived 4, 5, 6 years of the Nazis. And moments, days, weeks before they're liberated, they die because of the Nazi marches. Or there are people who they came into Buchenwald, and it was just too late. They were in their deathbeds or the last throes. And even as the American soldiers were coming, there were people dying in Buchenwald. So that too, it was certainly bothersome. So I always think to myself, so many Jews that 3,300 plus years, and now, right before Mashiach, you lose them. Oh, right, so Mashiach right now. And those who mourn for Shalom, though, as I swing back, you know, they'll be at Chesedim. Those, all of us who mourn, Mashiach's going to come in our time, but if Chas Shalom, something happens, we'll be there to see the Mishnah Mishri built, to see the Jewish people in its glory. V'tosefas ha'ikra, but the main resurrection of the dead is at the end of time. Yom HaDin HaGadol, when the world is judged and people are judged for eternity. And by the way, the reason it has to happen then is because if we do something, it will ricochet throughout history, right? Our children, our grandchildren, our great-great-great-grandchildren. A person brings a person closer to Hashem, that will continue onwards. And if, God forbid, a person pushes a person away, that will continue afterwards. And the Tosefes al-Ikra HaKoyim, Shekevan Shema Oilam Vad Oilam Atel, Hashem is forever. And therefore, again, the common, the bris of love between Hashem and the Jewish people is not just the 70 years until you die, or 120 years until a person dies. That it's a person only in life? No. Hinebias HaMashiach, the coming Mashiach, is Ma'evetes is HaBris HaNitzches, L'Kla'am, reminds us that wherever we are, Hashem is always with us, and Shabbos is a reminder of that. Okay, so the bris with the Jewish people is eternal, but what about the individual who doesn't do it? Actually, I mentioned before that there are Jews who are lost in Spain, lost in Russia, lost. If that yid held strong and just was lost, not only will they come at the end of time, even for the Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, they're going to be coming back. Because that bris is eternal. That covenant is eternal. It's an eternal covenant, not just for the 50, 100, 120 years the person lives. With every single Jew. Every Jew. Right? Because Misa, in death, in the scheme of eternity, may seem like a long time, but it's not so long. In the scheme of eternity, just a fleeting moment. And then a person connects to Hashem eternally. With the MS, I knew some people telling me that their family hid themselves for hundreds of years. Again, some are valid, halakhically, some are not. But the concept, like, coming out, right, the covenant, the truth is the Jewish people, as a whole, collectively, it's not a short-term contract with Hashem. It's eternal love. Moshe Amar Rus, as Rus, said when she became a Jew, when she became a Rus, right? What does Rus say when she becomes a Jew? Basher Tamoisi Amos, how you die, I will die. Vishama Kavra, I'll be buried like you. Right, she was wanting to be with the Jewish people eternally. That's how she accepted to be a convert, Rus. Certainly, Hashem, his covenant, that death does not separate. And the bris of Hashem is eternal. And at the end of time, even again, if you mourn for Yerushalayim in the beginning of the Messianic era, or somewhere in the beginning of the Messianic era, there will be a time where even the dead come back alive. That really ends the 13 principles of faith. As far as its connection to Shabbos, again, there's so much more to say about the Yigamal Ikram and the 30 principles of faith. That's how it connects to Shabbos, and then we'll resume with this year.